And it's just been an incredible journey that we've had just looking at the book of Hebrews. You know, today we're going to be looking at a book that people regard as the chapter of faith. There's a certain incredible examples about faith, and it even gives a definition of faith. There are many definitions in the Bible, but this the definition covered here really captures a lot about what faith is. You know, the title of the message today is, Are You Spirits of the Invisible World? Or Are You Just Living the Visible? Spirits of the Invisible World. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin from verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. You know what? One of the core aspects of our faith is our belief in the invisible. This makes us different to the other creatures of this planet. You know, we live in a world more and more where life is all about the visible, the tangible, what you can see and touch and hold and grasp. You know, I heard something yesterday on the radio, and it really hit a chord. There was an advert for a large department store, and it was the song of a child. And the child was singing, All I want for Christmas is an Xbox, iPad, DVD, plasma TV, computer, laptop, and they're listing all the things. And he was just like, oh, this is not, I have to turn it off. This is not right. And it was a cute little song, sung by a child. And it really hit me. We are living more than ever before in a world of the visible. I see it. I want it. I'm valuable because I have it. If I don't get it, I'm going to steal it. I've got to have it. We are living in the world of the visible. We know what God wants you to be, spirits of the invisible world. Not thus the visible world. And we've defined what faith is. Faith has been sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, you and I are here today fundamentally because we believe in something that you cannot see. Yeah. We're surrounded in a world of angels and demons. And it talks about this in the scripture. We're surrounded by a world of decisions that you make. You cannot even see the consequences of them. Perhaps until years later. We are living in a world of the invisible. Now I have 3 points today. As we go through some characters as we read in the book of Hebrews. You know, our first point is that you've got to believe the warning. You know, Noah was warned about something the world had never seen. You've got to believe the warning. You know, second point, you've got to heed the call. As so many spiritual people are called to do something greater than they'd ever done before, than the land had ever seen, we too have been called. And lastly, you've got to walk the talk. You know, we say a lot of things. The Bible says a lot of things. The issue is not what you say. The issue is what you do. You've got to walk the talk. You know, the first point, you've got to believe the warning. Let's pick it up in verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with his faith. This is an incredible scripture. You know, we had a Bible discussion on Friday night in our family group just on this scripture. And we could have gone on for hours. You know, it goes back and it quotes Genesis. And in Genesis 6, verse 13. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. You think about this. What an incredible thing. There was Noah, a righteous man. Somehow, God communicated to Noah. Maybe in a dream. Maybe in the middle of the night. Maybe in the middle of the day. Maybe over lunch. God appeared to Noah and said, I'm going to destroy everyone around me. I'm going to kill. I'm going to wipe out humanity as you know it. Why? Because the earth is filled with violence because of them. This is really deep. And I'm going to destroy them. And Noah is warned by God of impending doom. And it's very interesting getting our brain around this. There's been several times that God has warned people not to do something. Classic example, even before this was written. Adam and Eve. God warned Adam and Eve not to eat from the fruit in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge. And the big temptation when we hear a black and white warning like this is, did God really say you shouldn't do this? Thanks, Chris. You know, when you hear about the warning what God is calling the world to change, one of the big temptations is it really that serious? Is the Bible really saying that Jesus is the only way? Is he really saying that? I mean, I know a lot of people who don't put Jesus Lord of their life. And maybe you're not quite connecting with the warning. You know, the world is full of warnings. You know, when people saw the earthquakes and the tsunami, and they saw the water going out, some people twigged what was going on and said, man, there's going to be a tsunami. I've seen this. And maybe tried to warn people who were on the beach, who were just there taking pictures. And they didn't take the warning. And the water came in and killed people. The financial crisis we're in right now, there's been a number of people who said, hang on a minute, something's not right here. You know, house prices, you can't rely on this. And try to warn, you can't live this way. You can't get into too much debt. And we ignored the warning. And people are in a mess. The world is in a mess because of it. Blind ignoring the truth. You cannot spend what you don't have. Even my mum told me that before I was a teenager. And some reason, it's that basic concept is beyond the grasp of grown adults. You know, we've been warned again and again about various things in our life. You know, one incredible thing about being an adult is in some ways you can be like a prophet to those younger than you. And you can talk to people younger than you and you say, man, if you live this way, this is a consequence of your life. And how have we accepted the warnings of even of those older than us? And we say, nah, I'm going to go through the pain myself. I'm not going to heed the warning. Now, I really believe as well, and this can mean many things, you know, after coming back to that, even things as basic as if you don't do your homework or you don't study, your life won't be as successful as if you did put the work in. Oh, I can't. But we live by sight. I can't see it. 5 years is too far away for me to understand. I'm living for the visible. I'm living for now. That few years from now, that's an invisible thing. You know, this is a spiritual issue. If you can't take the warnings of how you're living your life today and the consequences it has, even in the few years' time, you're going to have problems with spiritual issues. Because it's all about living in a way now that will affect your future. We can't lose connection of it. We can't say, oh, I've got away with it in the past, I'll get... No, it doesn't work that way. You've got to live for the invisible. Live for the things that you cannot see. Whether you believe it or not, trust, listen, perceive. Amen. You know, there's many other warnings we're talking about. One of the big warnings we have in life, I really believe, God gives us near misses. Something happens, either to you or to someone near you, that ought to wake you up. I don't know about you, but I drive a car. Some of you in this room drive a car. You know, a car is an incredibly dangerous instrument. We've seen this weekend, and we need to pray for what happened, the accident on the M5. I think 7 people died. It could have happened to anyone. I was just reading it this morning, and it was like, wow. Wow. I mean, cars just blindly going, smashing into each other with women and children. It's just not a great situation. But cars are incredibly dangerous. You know, it is shocking that we don't have even more accidents. And sometimes I'm driving and I get a bit loose about something, and a near miss happens. And whoa, I need to wake up. And I believe that God sometimes allows me to go through a near miss to wake me up so I change my behavior. You know, it can be like that. You know, a lot of people messing around with life, maybe a bit loose sexually, suddenly a friend of yours gets pregnant or catches a sexual transmitted disease or dies. Taking drugs, you know, enjoying it, it can be great living the wild life, but there are consequences and you'll get a warning yourself or someone you know, disaster will strike them.
That's right.
And add 1 + 1 and get 2. If it happened over there, it can happen to you and change. God gives us warnings. How are we doing? We've got to heed the warnings. Amen. You know, Noah wasn't a righteous man. And he listened to what God said and he believed the impossible, the never before, the invisible was going to happen. And he built an ark to save his family. You know, again, you read from verse 7. Look what it says. He didn't just build an ark. In holy fear, he built an ark. You know, fear is good. Holy fear is good. Because it's a core, again, a key element of faith. You know, when I was studying the Bible, we talked about this. You know, when you realize, wow, There's disaster coming. There ought to be a holy fear. You know, we realize there's impending doom. The river's coming. You go onto higher ground. You don't faff around and mess around. Sorry. You make some changes in life. You know, we've all had experiences where someone sat down with us and said, if you continue along this path, it's not going to go well. You know, I had that realization when I was studying the Bible. First time as a young man, I realized, man, if I continued the path of being a non-Christian and not be in control of my thoughts, life wasn't going to go well. For me, almost the bigger conversations I've had is when I've been a Christian. When the people have sat me down, I remember I've shared this numerous times, I remember being sat down, I was wasting my life in university, wasting it. This is in the cloud cuckoo land. And I sat down with some friends of mine, and he said, what are you doing? And warned me, if I didn't change, if I didn't start taking life seriously and studying, my life would be a disaster. And praise God, my heart was humble enough to listen to that warning and make the change. I have no idea where I would be emotionally or in life if I hadn't listened to that warning. We've all had life-giving rebukes. How are we doing in taking up that warning? We got to believe the warning, amen? Now, if we believe the warning, we will save ourselves and our family. Noah believed, and God used him to start another nation. Now, our second point. You've got to heed the call. And again, you read this, read the Hebrews 11, and we go through. There's plenty of examples of individuals who were called by God. Now, again, you pick it up in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Again, he's living for the invisible, not the visible. You know, imagine being called to go to a place to pick up everything, and you don't even know where it is. Incredible. Abraham was called to do that. How many people, this is out of interest, how many people are living now in a country that they weren't born in? Hands up. That's right. When I left Jamaica at 6 years old, I was called to go to a country I'd never been before. And you think, wow, this is exciting. It's the journey. It's going on a plane and you get excited. You pack up your house. And you're called to go to this place. And I had no idea what it was going to be like. You know, when you're being called to go to somewhere, your existing place is no longer your home anymore. When you realize you're going to pack up and leave and go to a completely different nation, your home that you've lived in, you're not that concerned about fixing the plumbing or doing those odd jobs that you've been putting off for years and years. Why? Because it's no longer going to be my home. I'm going to go to a different place, a different nation, a different country. You know, we as people are being called to go to a place which is totally different to what we've seen before. And again, we won't have seen it. Again, it's a different mentality in faith. And it's interesting because we've wrestled. I don't know if anyone's moved house at all in the last 10 years. But we've wrestled with moving house. Should we stay or should we go? All to do with secondary schools. If you've got kids going up into secondary school age, I'm sure you could relate. And you know, one of the challenges for us is, as we've been wrestling to move, we're thinking, oh, do we bother to fix these things in the house? And so, okay, if I'm going to move, there's no point. But if I'm going to stay, then we do this. You know, there's a lot of similar analogies with if we're a believer moving into our heavenly home. You know, if we're moving into our heavenly home, it is somehow easier to be content with the home you're living in. Because I don't mind how bad it is now. I can be prepared to live in conditions which aren't fantastic. Because I know my new home is going to be much better. Amen. Anyway, a lot of time we think, yeah, if I can live here another 6 months, another year. But if I'm really saving up, man, if my new house is going to be so good, I don't mind living another 5 years in this place. Or maybe another 20 years, if my new house is going to have these incredible things in it. You know, if we truly see and believe what our home in heaven is going to be like, it makes a difference how content we are leaving our existing home. Or even how content we are being in our existing home. Because a lot of time we grumble. Our life is not good now. Why? Because you're living for the visible. If all this life is about the visible, let me tell you something. You're going to be depressed. Because the visible can never satisfy. Only the invisible satisfies. Why? Because we are spirits of an invisible world, which means we cannot be satisfied by the visible. Anything you get, no matter how shiny and good it is, will never satisfied because this is a visible thing designed for visible people. And you are not a visible person. You are a spirit of the invisible world. Amen? You know, Abraham got this. He was called to go to a place. And the place he was living in, Ur, was a nice place. It was comfortable. You know, his dad was there. He settled in Ur and from Terah. He decided to live in tents, to continue in this journey. And what you'll see, the pattern of all of Hebrews, is that these people were called to sacrifice and go somewhere. In their lifetime, they never received what they were promised. It still was invisible to them. Or was it? You know, it's very, very interesting. Walt Disney, there was a comment about Walt Disney. After Magic Kingdom was done, Walt Disney designed and had a vision for Disneyland or Disney World. And after Magic Kingdom was done, it was finished, actually, after he died. And some people went up, and some people commented, "Oh man, what, it's a great shame that Walt Disney never managed to see the Magic Kingdom that he'd planned." But he was a visionary. So he did see what he'd planned, because he envisioned it. You know, just because he died didn't mean he didn't see it. You know, Beethoven, an incredible composer. Everyone loves Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Dun, 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 dun. The guy was deaf when he wrote it. That means he never heard it the way you and I heard it. He had a vision, though. And he could see it or hear it because he believed it. Now, if Walt Disney and Beethoven can see the visible, the invisible, how about us, people with the Holy Spirit inside us? We should see the invisible. You know, again, Abraham was called to go to this place, and he obeyed and went. Taking his family, and again, the whole issue with the promise of having a son. Again, in looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Incredible! Here's again a man who didn't live by sight, called to sacrifice, called to give up his son, the one who had been promised, and he reasoned, he believed, God is in control. You know, you read on again, you read about, again, Moses, in verse 24, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Presumably, we're talking about the second time he left, rather than the first. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Again, these people, and you think about Moses, if there was ever an individual who lived in the visible, physical world, it was Moses. I mean, even now to this day, thousands of years later, we can still see the pyramids. You know the amount of gold that they had flowing in Egypt, we can still have evidence of it today. Moses saw through all of that, gave up the treasures of Egypt, and decided to live the invisible. What are you struggling to give up? You know, it's very interesting. I want to talk about this. We talked about this morning with the Kids Kingdom class. We had a Kids Kingdom meeting. Now, we are all called. Abraham called to leave Ur. Moses called to leave Egypt. Noah called to build an ark. You know, we're all being called, and the list of Hebrews is full of people who God has called them. If you're a member of this church, God is calling you to serve. Okay? If you're a member of another kind of church, if you're just a nominal Christian, maybe you can rock up, come to church, hear the message, and go home. That is not Christianity. It really isn't. It's not Jesus' version of Christianity. It's not washing the feet version of Christianity. Everyone in this room is called to serve.
Amen.
What do I mean by that? You know, there is a big need for work to be done. I was chatting to Ben yesterday. You know, Ben has been doing a great job with the ushering. And Ben has been thinking long and hard on how to solve the ushering problem of getting people to help. And he's been talking about encouraging the family group leaders to choose one person from each group to nominate, and that person will help the ushering. That's awesome. And let's really give our hearts to that. Call to serve there. But then you think some groups. We've got Kids Kingdom. There is a huge need for people to serve in Kids Kingdom. I'm going to talk about qualifications for service in a minute. There's a huge need for people to serve in Kids Kingdom. There's a huge need for people to get on stage and sing. There's a huge need for people to help out, again, with the communion supplies. There's a need for help out the with counting money. There are needs in the church, and some people are struggling it. If there's someone in this room who can serve and is not serving, I call you to repent.
Amen.
Because this is not optional.
Absolutely.
God is calling you. Amen?
Amen.
But, I need a break. Yeah, we need a break from time to time. God is still calling you to serve. You know, I'm going to jump ahead, and the next point we're going to talk about is about walk the talk. In some areas, maybe there's some things you need to work on before you can serve. What do I mean by that? And I'm going to talk specifically about Kids Kingdom. You know, we want people to serve, but some service, preaching, even this, worship, we've got to make sure that we're good examples, amen? You know, if we're calling people to live a certain way, you've got to make sure you're walking the talk. You know, if we're representing the church, you've got to make sure your life is consistent with it. Basics, your walk with God, your attendance, your membership of a family group, how much you're in the Word. We've got to make sure we're walking the talk. We want people to help. But more importantly, we want people to walk the talk. I'm just stealing from my last point there. But you've got to heed the call. You know, God is calling us. And He's calling us to be our best. You know, again, you look at Abel. And we pick it up again in Hebrews chapter, in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, pick it up on Abel. Abel offered God a better sacrifice. Again, we are called to sacrifice. And I appreciate people in this room who do sacrifice. You know, sometimes, sadly, when we say things like what I've just said, the same people respond. And you have a number of people who are doing a lot of the work. Again, we're called to sacrifice. Amen? God sacrificed for us. Lastly, we've got to walk the talk. You know, as we said here, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found. I mean, he was gone. Like Star Trek style, beam me up, Scotty. I mean, this guy disappeared. One minute he was there, next minute he wasn't. God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. You know, ultimately, we want to please God. Amen? And the challenge is, amongst A lot of people know what they need to do about how to be a disciple. Some people don't. But if you've been around, you know what you need to do. We've got to make sure we walk the talk. Tokes was sharing about this minister who recently quit a church, upset because he didn't like the way his church responded to the messages. I mean, he would preach incredible hardline messages on discipleship, and people would love it because it was rugged and it was hardline. But it wouldn't change. Oh, but I'm part of a fired-up hardline church. You know, it's not about the messages. It's not about the sermons. It's not about the quality of your Bible discussion. It's not even, well, we're getting a bit closer, how good and insightful your personal Bible study is. Although we're getting, you know, that's an important element, moving in the right direction. Or even how great your prayers are. Although, again, that's getting a bit closer to the mark. It's about whether you walk the talk or not. We're going to be talking about this on Wednesday with the brothers, about us getting back on the mission and seeking and saving the lost. Now, we need to get back to those kind of conversations. If good, we've had a time of growth, it's time to draw a line and time to be outward focused.
Amen.
And starting to walk the talk. It's great to have the teens here. Come on, the teens. I pray that when you're studying the Bible, that what you're studying is not a surprise. Because you should see it happening around you.
Amen.
You shouldn't look at something and go, whoa, that's the standard for discipleship? That's what you need to do to be saved? That's what it takes to be a Christian? Man, I've never seen that before. It should be, wow, yeah, I've seen that. I get it. Oh, right, now it fits together. Now the pieces of the jigsaw fit together. Yeah, that's why my mum and dad do this. That's why everyone talks like this. Don't let studies be a surprise for your children.
Yeah.
We need to walk the talk. Enoch did. He walked with God. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, again, even Adam before the fall, he walked with God in the cool of the day. And that's what we need to have. Well, we live transparent lives. We're walking the talk. Where we're close to God. Right? If someone calls on you to share a message, you can, because you've got something on your heart. What is your conviction now? If I asked you today, now, this second, to come up here and preach for 2 minutes on something you're convicted about, do you have a message? Do you have a message for the world? Do you have something that's burning? Or are you in the visible? You know, when you're in the invisible realm and you meet someone, you've just got to tell them about something that they cannot see. You've got to explain, man, I know you can't see this, but I want to tell you about the invisible. You know, we are spirits of the invisible world. You know, just to close, in Hebrews 11, verse 39, as it goes to the list of people, as you know, he's talking about Joshua walking through Jericho. He's talking about Rahab the prostitute, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. You know, these prophets, they lived by faith. They were sinners. They were weak. They blew it. But they walked the talk. You know, you think about, even before we go to the end, you think about Samson. Here is a man who had huge flaws. I mean, it's just beyond comprehension what his flaws were. Yet he made it into Hebrews 11 because in his dying breath, he walked the talk.
Right.
He finally figured it out. So, man, I've blown it, but I'm going to give God glory. You know, you look at these people, Gideon, super weak, doubting. He walked the talk. Rahab, we talked about her, a prostitute. She walked the talk, lived on edge, did some, you know, put her life at risk, threatened her friends, walked the talk. David, Samuel, incredible people, and it goes to what they did. I mean, just love reading this. Who faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Verse 35, women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings. While still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Now the choice we're put today is, are we going to be people of the visible or people of the invisible? Let's choose to be spirits of the invisible world. Amen. Thanks very much.